Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line, and the next available operator will be with you shortly.
Cooed Earl into the telephone. He placed the receiver into a cradle next to a speaker and switched on the record player. A scratchy recording of the Poltergeist Polka, played by Frank Hebers and his orchestra, blared from the speaker. He rubbed his thumb against the turntable so that the record slowed, then sped up. Sometimes the caller would find the effect so annoying that he'd hang up, and that's just what Earl wanted. Since he was the next and only available operator, and since he hadn't had a nicotine fix in 2 hours, he'd darn well take time out for a smoke before getting back to that customer. Earl was owner-operator of the Pringler Call Center, a centralized office that handled customer service, debt collection, and telemarketing for more than 100 different companies in the Pacific Northwest. And while most modern call centers employed sophisticated computer telephony integration to increase efficiency, Earl relied on a single-line rotary telephone, a record player, and an assortment of sound effect devices. He'd gotten so good at irking his callers that he typically wound up talking to only one of every 15 of them. And that number plummeted to one in 40 when he employed his nearly unintelligible faux Bangalore accent. He reached for his coffee cup, discovered it empty, and dropped it on the floor, where it clattered onto the pile of other empty cups. That's a coffee cup?
Well, it's a plastic cup. Well, they clatter. Other ones break.
Oh, I should have said, did I say plastic in here?
No, but otherwise it would have broken.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Ah.
Okay, next time.
I'll bring a broken cup and put it together.
Yeah. He turned down the record player's volume and leaned close to the telephone.
All of our operators are busy assisting other customers,
he said in a perfect Mel Blanc does Daffy Duck voice.
Please stay on the line for the next available operator.
Pressing his ear to the receiver, Earl heard that most welcome of sounds, a dial tone. Yes. Cheerfully, he hung up the phone. That was just appalling. That's a telephone. All right, we're just getting started, folks.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's right, yes.
Yes. Where are we?
He was on a roll now.
That was the 10th in a row.
10th in a row.
Could he break his record of 25?
I have nothing I can break here either. I've told you that already.
The phone rang again. Okay. He picked it up, held a handkerchief over the receiver to muffle his voice, and began the spiel anew.
Your call is important to us.
Baloney, he thought. A cigarette, that was important.
Please stay on the line.
He said, modulating his voice like a detuned banjo. Down went the phone. Up came the Poltergeist Polka. A minute later, another dial tone. Yes!
Oh, wait, that's a ring. Never mind. Yes. Earl, he's lighting up somewhere.
As Earl lit up, drawing the pleasurably familiar flavor of a box of Wheaties in a barn fire into his lungs, he abruptly perceived a change in his surroundings, as if another presence were in the room with him. He tapped an inch of ash into the aquarium he used as an ashtray. At once, a giant krill shot up to the water's surface and swallowed the residue. It shot Earl its knowing, Judgment Day is coming. Look before diving back to the enclosure's depths. Earl started to turn off the record player before discovering that it was already off. And yet the Poltergeist Polka played on. The phone rang, startling him, and me too. Instinctively, he picked it up. but before he could begin his...
Your call is important to us.
Spiel, a disembodied voice in the receiver, said simply...
In the house.
If those words meant nothing to you before, they will now.
Not a thing.
For they are the verbal imprimatur of the newly reconstituted, if still woefully and wrongly non-profit, Calvus and Damien's In the House.
In the House!
Show!
Show?
Joe? From our house to your house. Ah. Or if we can ever swing it, from your house to someone else's house.
Wherever the food might be, that is.
It's In the House! It's Damien. It's Calvus.
Calvus!
It's...
Lest anybody get the wrong idea, this is not going to be an all-soothing show.
Not at all.
We have a guest.
But let's think
Shall first, we talk first about what we've done?
Talk about this house thing.
What the house? We're in the house.
In the house.
We're in a house.
Yeah.
The house.
The house of...
We are in the house.
Yeah, so...
The Calvus and Damien in the... We had to change our name.
So we're no longer Calvus and Damien.
We are that. We're just not a New Music Bazaar anymore.
No, that's old hat. Old school.
Old school. Yes. So we're here in the house. In the house!
The house.
In the house.
The house school.
In the house. All right.
Okay.
And we have a guest. You know,
but,
when we
I can't hear.
First played this.
I can't hear.
I know you can't hear. I'm sorry.
What? When we first played.
Yes. When we first played material by this composer who shall remain nameless for the next
hour and a half?
Well, that's why. See, this is the problem. When we first had his stuff on the air, we thought he was something European.
Bad word.
And so we called him Artyarvinen.
Yes.
I was entirely embarrassed when I realized that he was just a regular guy like us, except better.
Yeah, well, it happens.
And so we welcome to Calvus and Damien in the house for the first show number 540 of our total collective shows.
Okay, so it's not...
No, 539, sorry.
Yes.
539. Art Jarvinen, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about you. You have... don't tell us about now. Tell us about how you got to now.
And tell us about ants.
How I got to now and... My aunt had nothing to do with how I got to know.
I was thinking more of fire ants and army ants and Aunt B, those sorts of ants.
Aunt B.
I was living in Upper Michigan as a kid, and the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I thought, you know what? I'd like to do that. And specifically, for whatever reason, I kind of thought I would be the Ringo of the group.
Oh, I thought you meant you'd be the MC, do the Ed Sullivan.
No, I kind of wanted to be a Beatle or something like one. That's similar enough to an ant.
It
I
is,
guess.
Yeah. Okay.
So I ended up eventually going to college as a percussion major and always did composition on the side and never did really fully realize my dream of being a rock drummer or pop drummer, because in every group that I've ever been in, I end up like singing or playing bass or doing something other than drums. Even in my most recent band, The Invisible Guys, which is a surf instrumental group, I have a drummer and I play bass and write all the music. So yeah, it started with the Beatles and that brought me to...
And you went to a real school and stuff,
I understand. Oh, I went to Ohio University as an undergraduate and got a degree in percussion performance. And then I went to Cal Arts, which is a slightly less real school than OU, but it's still, you know,
a school. Yeah, we've heard that. It's a little less real.
And I got my master's there, MFA, in, again, percussion performance. But I went an extra year and sort of did some focusing on composition with Mort Subotnick and others, but really self-taught composer. My background is really as a percussionist, which I kind of don't do anymore.
Well, the reason I asked is because we have in front of us a pile of recordings, all of which has you in, speaking of invisible guises, in different guises.
Mm-hmm.
It
True.
Seems like not a one of them has a similarity to any other. From
yeah,
sort of
that's true.
Some chamber music of the kind of very... sort of classic variety through and I don't even know how to describe Sergeant Pecker.
Yeah, you're not alone in that dilemma. What is it? Even I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, you know, the variety of work I do is so diverse, and that's only the music, because I've, you know, also done quite a bit of writing and visual art and so forth that I've taken in my recent bios when I apply for things, or, you know, people, presenters ask for a bio. I've been describing myself as a free-range artist.
Ah. Hmm. Organic.
Well, sometimes not so organic. I'm into all kinds of pollutants and things, depending on the project. The organic part would depend on the project. But yeah, free-range would be probably a fair way to describe the... diversity of my work stylistically and also just in terms of the media that I work in. But you can imagine how difficult that makes it to establish or maintain any kind of a career. People get very confused.
Yes, that would be absolutely true. As a matter of fact, we are confused and we're not even offering you a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we heard as we were coming out of the opening story a little bit from Vulture's Garden. Actually, mm-hmm. That's what introduced it, which is actually on Calvus's top 100 pieces, by the way. Yes,
heard that.
Yes, and then a little part of part one, which is actually the third section of mm-hmm. of Endless Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody had to be introduced to your stuff, what would you want them to hear? Through and through the first time that we could actually have time to play on the show. So let's do that now.
Oh, boy. That's just not even a fair question.
I know it's not. That's why I asked it.
That's not even a fair question.
How about two? Three?
Oh, man. Well, I wish I had had some advance warning to think about that.
Well, you've had advance warning for the past month. So.
Well, I mean, but the one piece that sort of represents me the best...
No, we're going to hear more. It's just, let's start with something.
We already have.
Well, Endless Bummer was a good place to start because that is fully composed chamber music, except for the one you played, part one, that extends in a sort of quasi-improvisational manner for a long period of time, but it's mostly repetition and variation. There's no improvisation, really.
Mm-hmm.
So Endless Bummer is a almost completely through-composed piece of chamber music, but in a sort of surf style. It's like, I think of those as surf ballads. So it brings together my composition hat and the fact that I tend to focus mostly on instrumental composition, and it's crossing dangerously close to vernacular waters, but, you know, surf fans don't really hear it as surf music, even though I do, you know. So I think Endless Bummer is a pretty fair point of departure in terms of getting to know my work.
Well, let's hear either part two or part three from beginning
what's
to end.
First on the CD, part three?
Part three.
Yeah, play that.
All right, let's do it. Our guest is Art Jervinen, and we're just absolutely delighted to have him here, because one of the disappointments of having stopped the show back at the end of 2005 was that we had a long list of people we wanted to, for our own sort of gratification, get to talk to. We needed an excuse.
Not only that, but often the guests would come bearing gifts. And we don't know that's the case today, but it happened enough that we're always...
You mean like fruit baskets?
Anything like that, yes. For fruit bats.
Fruit bats, yes. All right, let's hear Endless Bummer. Here we are, Art Jarvanen.